Oh, good day. How's everybody out there? Me, I'm a little burnt out. I was at ICAST yesterday. Went around, did all kinds of crazy stuff. Didn't really do me any good. Did a lot of other people a lot of good. Warmed my feet out. With traffic, it should be about... Without traffic, it's about 2.5 hours to get there. With traffic, about 3.5 hours. But got up there, walked around for, I don't know, 6-7 hours, and then you get in the truck and drive 3.5 hours back waiting in traffic jams, you know. So, and the worst part about it was there's no side streets, no back roads until you get so far out I-4.
Yeah. And then, well, there is, but there's like every other street is some kind of toll.
Yeah, so I just waited the traffic out and came back around. So
I found that out the hard way one time.
Yeah, it's all little, there's a lot of roads, but they're all toll roads.
Yeah.
So, and that can cost you like 30, 40 bucks before in a minute.
Right.
Oh, gosh. So, anyway, we're here to do the fishing report. And,
you know, it's hodgepodge this week with this funky weather, but should really start to pick up. The curious thing I would like to know is how the river has been affected at all, because most of these storms have been more coastal than inland. So I don't really necessarily think it's gone up a lot, but it wouldn't surprise me if it has gone up some. So I'd be kind of curious on that. But, you know, tomorrow is supposed to definitely start to clear up, and by Sunday should be less windy, more normal summertime rain pattern than this little tropical depression that's been over us. And now that whole northern Gulf is going to get a whole lot of wet.
Yeah, they're talking something like 10 inches to 20 inches of rain up there.
Yeah. Kind of scary.
Yeah. Fishandfranks.com, Weather and Tides Button, Arcadia Peace River. We're looking at 1,300 cubic feet per second. The river's actually going down.
Okay.
It's down to almost 5 foot.
Okay.
So the normal's about 1570, so we're less than normal water flow in the river. In 1974, on this day, we had 8,970 cubic feet per second.
Jeez.
Which probably puts the river at like 15 feet.
Right.
It's like maximum flooding. But
wow.
For our practical purposes, the harbor's going to clear up a little bit if we don't get a lot of rain going in. You know, if the rain doesn't pick up a little bit, the harbor's going to get clear again. So...
Yeah. Still makes it tricky for everybody anyway, even with that little bit of tint out there.
You know, I'm still really old, and I use like a GPS thing to get around. I don't use my phone. I actually have a GPS sitting on the dash, because I don't like looking at the phone. I think it's too distracting if you're trying to figure out where
sure.
you go.
Absolutely.
But when my last one kind of gave out on me, I bought a trucker's model, and I was coming back, and I didn't ever see it, but it says elevation on there. You click a thing,
oh,
and it tells
really?
You how high up you are.
No kidding.
And between Orlando and Tampa, it's about 150-60 foot.
Seriously.
And then by the time you get down here, we're in between 40 and 50 feet on I-75.
Seriously. Wow. I had no idea that it was up that high.
Yeah, it's like 150 feet in elevation up there, whereas when you get down here, we're between 40 and 50, depending on where you're at, and then probably 30 foot when you get off the interstate, because the interstate's raised up,
sure.
But I was in traffic, so I forgot to look. But I'll show it to you next time we get in the truck. It's actually
cool.
Really cool. We can actually sit in the parking lot here and find out what the elevation is.
That's super cool.
Something that the civilian model GPSs don't have really, but the trucker's version, you know, you got to pick what type of truck you're driving or car and put that in, because it's got all the extra rules for trucks and everything in it.
Nice.
But, you know, because nobody uses them anymore, they're getting cheap. So
right.
I'm gonna go out and buy at least one more, because it's pretty cool just to have a backup.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, I was in Irma, right in the driving through the middle of Tropical Storm Irma's after it was downgraded, and up in the northern Georgia, you know, South Carolina area, and my GPS quit, and it wouldn't take anything, wouldn't do anything. It just quit working.
Wow.
Right in the middle of a hurricane. All I could get out of it was north, south, east, or west, which really helped. It was like having a compass, but that was all it would do.
Wow, that's not fun. But still very cool to have the new one like that.
When I went out and bought it, you know, later that day I stopped at a, you know, trucker's gas station and went in. I picked that one.
Nice. Nice.
Then I'm going to look around and find another trucker's version, because having the elevation and all that other kind of stuff is actually really cool when you're driving.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, it gives you something to be distracted with.
Yes, exactly.
Not really. I think it's the least distracting thing, because it puts your speeds right there, what you're supposed to be driving, what you are driving. You know, it's all right there. You just look down and look up. You don't even have to look down as far as the dashboard.
Right.
So, all right, up on the Peace River, don't have a lot of water flowing down. Have you got any reports?
There's been still the assortment of snook, mostly. All over, you know, Harbor Heights, Shell Creek, up to the Navigator, and then the juvenile tarpon, and even a few adult tarpon, like in the 80 to 120 pound range, have been popping around up there. And then the a lot of the small bull sharks, still getting some pretty good reports on those. Most of those are like from, honestly, from Harbor Heights up to, what's the campground above the Navigator?
The Peace River Campground.
Peace River Campground. You know, it's a couple miles. Well, it's about a mile or so up above. No, it's probably a couple miles above.
Yeah, it's a mile or two above the Navigator. By road, it's quite far, but by river, it's not very far at all.
Right. It's just kind of neat to see, you know, those three varieties of fish doing well up there.
Yeah. It's that Riverside Campground. If you ever go up there and, you know, I don't know if I'd do it this time of year, but once it gets a little closer to fall where it's a little more comfortable,
right,
you could actually, right next to the boat ramp, there's a tree there, and there's a really deep hole next to that tree, just so you know.
Gotcha.
Darst boat, I-75.
A lot of juvenile tarpon still there in the mornings with a couple sub-adults. Black drum have still been hanging around, and then they've been catching some very small snook and a couple of what would be normally slot size redfish on the northern end side. You know, it hasn't been phenomenal, but the to hear reports of redfish is pretty good. And they're mostly catching them all on shrimp. You know, the tarpon, on the other hand, they're catching those on some bait busters and terrorize. A couple guys are still buying the rattle traps and doing those pretty well.
You know, I told you, I was telling you that I went and helped VMC develop a new hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put two companies together so they could do business together, because I was friends with both of them and they didn't know each other. And the one guy was saying, I was really thinking, you know, who do I know that would, and I said, well, I'll go get him if you want to meet him, and put that company together. And then I was staying with Mark Nichols, and I was explaining to him something, and Mark's going to bring out a new shad bait for me.
Nice.
So I literally did a lot of business and helped a lot of other companies make money, you know, several other companies.
But it's going to cost you money, because you got to buy the stuff now.
Yeah, I'm the one who's going to end up paying for it.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, I go and I help design and help build, but I never get a piece of it. Nobody ever like gives me a percentage of the sales or anything.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of crazy how that works sometimes. But in the long term, it helps you sell a lot more product and make people a whole lot happier.
Yeah, so
that's a very good thing.
It's just kind of funny that after all of the different products that either you or I have designed and helped with over the years, you know.
Right.
All right. 41 Bridge.
The 41 Bridge. Let's see. There's been some snook, kind of more or less in the mornings and in the evenings, along with a few bull sharks. And the black drum have still been pretty prevalent there. There has been a couple of mangrove snapper, but they've started to kind of get a little quieter this week. You know, there's been some weird tides this week too, and I don't know if it has to do with the frontal system over us or what, but it's been, you know, it says it's incoming, but in reality it's a little bit of an outgoing. Then it slows down and starts to push back in, and a couple people have made some comments about it this last 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. We forget. Let me see. I can Let me go back on fishandfranks.com and weather and tides. Now, when I go through, I click the tide button. I'm just going to pick the Port Charlotte one. And we've got some fairly good water exchanges, but a lot of it's over time. And then you get, you've got a low tide in the morning, a little bit higher tide in the afternoon, and then a lower tide late early in the evening. Well, between that, those two, there's really not a lot of water moving. They're very, very close together. And what that's allowing it to do is let the wind affect everything.
Okay.
So when you wouldn't see that, say, from 11 in the morning till 7 in the morning, or, you know, midnight till daybreak.
Right.
Because you have strong outgoing tides.
Okay.
But during the day, the water comes up a bit, kind of stalls out, and then comes up a bit again at night. And it's during those stalled times that the wind starts really affecting which direction the water looks like it's moving.
Gotcha.
And that's why you're seeing that. Well, it says incoming, but it's actually outgoing. Well, that's just the wind pushing the water in the harbor around, and that actually kind of sucks the water in the canals a little bit too.
Right.
Because everything's affects everything. Mm-hmm. But I would say what you're seeing is wind generated.
Okay.
Because we get a lot of these localized storms, and you get these downdrafts, and it starts blowing the water, from us down harbor, which pulls that surface water out of the canals.
Okay.
And makes it look like it's going the other way when it should be coming in. And it will do the same thing if the wind blows from the other way. It's supposed to be going out, but the wind will actually make it look like it's coming in.
Okay. That makes sense.
So, that one's...
I mean, kind of figured that's what it was, but just hearing it from so many random places and people, it's just like, okay. Because my house has the bridge that would sometimes creates little eddies that slows it down and speeds it up a little bit. But for having multiple places of wind makes a lot more sense.
Well, the wind actually is affecting the water in the whole harbor, if not the near Gulf. And when you have that much water moving, it pulls all the rest of the water with it, or pushes the water with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what goes on out in the harbor actually affects the stuff in the canals. Because you can't have the water lower in the harbor than it is in the canals, or higher in the harbor than it is in the canals.
Right, no, and I understood that. Mine is just a weird one all the time. So, but it may...
Of course, you're there. It's
yeah, pretty much.
All right. So, anyway, I just, and I was trying to explain it so people could understand it. If you have a big body of water like the Gulf of Mexico and the wind starts blowing out of the east, the water very close to shore starts moving out into the Gulf. It starts pushing it out, like if you were taking a hose and moving water up a driveway, or, had a leaf blower and were pushing water along. That also if that water near Gulf moves out, it's going to suck water out of the harbor. And if you suck water out of the harbor, that sucks water out of the canals. So it's, yes, while there's not enough wind in the canals to affect the water height, it can be very easily affect the near Gulf, which affects the harbor, which does affect the canals. That's kind of where I was going in a very long-winded fashion. Lashley Pier.
Lashley's still got some small snook on it with a couple of bigger ones, a couple of nice black drum being caught around it, and then I've had a couple of mixed reports of some mangrove snapper, and one guy actually caught 3 sheep's head off of there the other day, which kind of surprised me, kind of didn't surprise me. He was using little tiny crabs and pieces of shrimp, actually trying to target them. He said he fished about 5 hours out there and finally caught enough for dinner. So, but that was a little unusual for me, just because of the time of year that it is, which we do need to order more fiddlers, by the way.
Okay. The neat part about it is with the fiddler crabs, you could use those down there and probably do fairly well. It's going to take a lot of patience, because it's not going to be quick and easy, because we keep sheephead all year. They're always around. It's like freshwater crappie. They say, I'm going crappie fishing, there's a lot of crappie there. Well, those same crappies didn't magically appear in that canal. They didn't come out of a rift in the time-space continuum to dump into that canal just for that crappie season. It's sheephead, crappie, fish like that scattered to the winds, but all of a sudden some biological thing clicks off and they say, okay, we're going to get together and spawn. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, an advertisement that a famous band is going to be at a certain club, and so everybody goes piling into there.
Right.
And, you know, then they meet, and boy meets girl, and things go on from there. But there's never a time there's not sheephead or sharks or stuff like that around the area. They're just scattered out a lot more. So, Bayshore Pier?
Bayshore Pier, they've been getting a couple of the small bull sharks off of there, and I heard of one cobia being caught this week, actually. Guy was in this morning, said he watched his buddy catch it 2 days ago in the rain. Said you had the whole pier to yourself, didn't you? He said, yep. I'm like, okay. Said it was pretty good. We got to watch the little water spout way in the bottom of the harbor and had the pier to ourselves.
Yeah, it's amazing now with social media, a little water spout like that, and everybody's like, oh my God, there's, you know, tornadoes in the harbor, and it's a little water spout.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Modern technology at its finest. No.
Wonderful, amazing technology used in the worst possible form and method.
That's usually how technology works.
Yeah. The Port Charlotte canals.
Black drum. Lots and lots of reports of black drum. A lot of smaller snook. Not getting too many reports of bigger snook. A lot of reports of bull sharks being caught up in all of the Port Charlotte canals. And then there's still been some jacks around and a handful of juvenile tarpon. You know, the bull sharks are one that's been impressing me the most because it's been, 2 weeks of consistent reports from kind of all over the place with them up in the canal systems?
Yeah.
A little more than normal. You know, every year we hear one or two, but to have at least one or two every day.
I remember a few years ago a guy got actually bit by a big bull shark in the canals, and he actually fell off his dock and got bit by a bull shark. And I think it's just like when that guy got bit when he was out on the charter and accidentally fell off the boat and the bull shark bit him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he landed on the bull shark, because you can tell a lot about what the attitude of the creature was that bit someone by what type of bite it is. If it's just a, you know, where they bite and let go right away, that's a get away from me bite.
Right.
I mean, I've got that from dogs and cats and snakes and all kinds of other things bit me over the years. But it's that quick boom, boom, and they're, you know, bite and let go. And if the shark was actually trying to eat him or, you know, actually attacking him, they would try to be ripping chunks out, because that's what sharks do.
Right.
But both these guys were actually, the shark had just bit and let go. You know, very quick bite.
Right.
And which saved them some body parts.
Absolutely.
But, in both cases, I think the guy actually fell and landed on the shark. Scared the heck out of the shark.
No kidding.
You know, if I'm laying there, say, asleep or, you know, just minding my own business, you know, da 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 da, boom, somebody falls on me, I'm going to probably punch them. You know, I might even bite. All right, Elder Bean Pier.
Elder Bean's been getting a handful of snook in the evenings, but the, you know, there again, the black drum are kind of what everyone's really raving about. And then there's been a lot of tarpon around the actual bridge itself, both juveniles and sub-adults. There've been a few snapper, but the snapper of any size are kind of starting to move out of there. Guys were catching pretty good on the silver sides and the shrimp, but I haven't had too many reports this week of good numbers anyway. And mostly that's weather driven.
Okay. Mayaca River?
Mayaca River's got bigger tarpon scattered throughout the whole thing. And then over by Tippecanoe and the north end of the Mayaca Cutoff, been a handful of redfish, even a couple black drum up there on the flats moving around, along with still a few snook. And some of those snook have been actually pretty good size that a couple people have been hooking into, some 30, 31 inch fish. Quite a few guys staying close to the boat ramp over there to get back with the funky weather.
Alright, South Gulf Cove?
Mayan cichlids and the tilapia. A lot of guys been in the last several days staying shorebound and just fishing with worms off their dock and catching them. One guy did buy some minnows because he was actually catching the bigger Mayan cichlids on the little crappie minnows and doing pretty good. And he got quite a mess of them, him and his grandson, who's down visiting from, I can't remember, I think it was Minnesota or someplace like that. Someplace a lot colder than here. But his grandson was pretty excited because he was catching a lot of different funky stuff.
Okay. And that's going to take us over to the West Wall.
West Wall's got a lot of snook on the lower part of it with some redfish up underneath the bushes. Main thing with the redfish is cut bait. And then I've had a couple people skip some pompano that have been running the West Wall, but other than that, it's been pretty quiet. That wind's been pushing right on top of it, so it's been a little tough fishing. But, you know, the redfish is by far cut frozen shrimp, cut ladyfish, cut mullet has been working really, really well. And, of course, crabs if you can get them. But it's a cast and sit and wait and see what happens, because some of those fish are up there 20, 30 feet under the bushes. So take your time with it and be patient. Or cover a whole lot of ground and probably accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, it's... Alright, Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes has had, there's been a couple of oddball Spanish mackerel out there on it, a few assorted sharks, and then, of course, the snook over along the shoreline. But other than that, I haven't had much else for feedback. A little quieter than normal. It's been right in the teeth of the wind.
All right, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay.
A lot of snook, especially on the perimeters. The outside of the bar of Turtle Bay and Bull Bay, Gallagher's Cut. And then, of course, going out to the clam lease on the backside of Bull Bay has got them. And then there's been a handful of sharks in there, from medium-sized bull sharks to an occasional black tip. To a couple reports of some nurse sharks and lemon sharks cruising around back in there. Other than that, no feedback on other species. You know, it's that time of year, that rain has kind of changed it a little bit in there, plus the rainy weather, not tons of feedback.
All right, Cape Hayes Reef, Danger Reef.
I got nothing this week.
Okay, Gasparilla Sound.
Mostly from right around Whidden Creek areas where I've gotten the best reports. Been some ladyfish, a few Spanish mackerel out on the flats and towards the deeper 4 to 6 feet of water, and then some snook and redfish over along the shoreline going to Whidden Creek. That's about it back in there. Overall, kind of quiet.
Okay, Placida Trestle, Little Gasparilla Pass.
Mangrove Snapper. Quite a few Mangrove Snapper being caught off of there. The guys are catching them on shrimp, silver sides. And a couple guys have been getting some tiny pinfish and catching them on those, but that's been tough. And then the occasional Spanish mackerel, occasional small to moderate-sized shark. And that's it.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Unfortunately, no snook, no redfish reports to speak of out there.
Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, I've gotten nothing, unfortunately.
Anger Pier?
Snook, juvenile tarpon, some small sharks, a few ladyfish and Spanish mackerel. There was some mangrove snapper around the Tom Adams Bridge that I've been hearing about. But that was actually Saturday was the last day I heard that report. So,
all right, we'll skip up to Venice. What's going on up there?
The jetties have still got some really, really nice snook there at night and in the early mornings. On the beach side of the jetties, they're still catching a few pompano, a couple of tiny whiting, and the occasional Spanish mackerel moving through there. But the snook have been the real talk for all those guys.
Starting to get some of this cleaned up, but I haven't got all the way to the bottom of the bay yet.
Gulf of Mexico, I've honestly got nothing this week with as sporty as the weather's been. last night, red snapper season closed at midnight, so if you guys are disappointed because of the crappy weather, unfortunately weren't able to get out for their last couple days of hoorah.
Yeah, that really kind of hurt a bunch of our business.
Oh yeah.
Boca Grande Pass
still has some tarpon in it, been a few Spanish mackerel. There's been some big bull reds moving through there. A couple of land-based guys catching them, and then a couple of the tarpon guys have been catching them. And that's about it. I haven't heard much else, unfortunately. But the big bull reds are kind of a real pleasant surprise to hear about them moving in. You know, every year they seem to move in at some point in July. Just never know exactly when.
All right, Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass, the only thing I've gotten was some tarpon down there, both on the inside of the pass and just right at the mouth by the beach side. Other than that, I got nothing else. A little quiet.
Okay, Redfish Pass?
Nothing.
Yeah, we're going to have to get rid of that one. It's just...
I mean, it is July. It should be stacked with
17th Street?
Nothing.
Middle Beach
has had some small jacks and a bunch of snook moving along it. Snook are all assorted sizes. Some of the guys that are walking out there at sunset and into the nighttime are catching some of the bigger ones, but there's quite a few snook out there along the beach. You know, which is thankful and should be normal for this time of year, so it's a good thing to see it.
Sanibel?
I've got nothing down there. No report this week, unfortunately.
Coosatchee River?
Nothing.
Okay, Cape Coral?
Bass fishing. Guy was in here, actually we had a little bit of shiners left and he bought the shiners that we had, but he was also using the, that Strike King, why can't I remember, the Rage Swimmer? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
He's using that in there. And he said the anything where there's a little bit of culvert pipes moving, those are working really good. And then he also bought a the pita lure. I can't remember it. The little sardine from Live Target. He's using that around those culvert pipes too and using them. Because he knows that shiners have been hard to get right now with all the flooding up north, but he said he just pitches it out there and he's actually holding it in the current and catching 2-pounders and 3-pounders and doing pretty good time.
Cool. We call a lot of the live target lures pita lures, all the fun of fishing without ever hurting a fish, because they made them look very realistic, but they have the dorsal fin on many of the lures is so tall that it literally blocks the fish from getting the point of the hook. So when you set the hook, the fish's mouth slides over the dorsal fin, over the hook, and you never get a hook set. So if that's happening to you at one of the lures, simply take a little scissors and trim the dorsal fin down a little bit, and all of a sudden those hits you were getting will turn into hookups. But in the meantime, that's just, you know, the live target stuff looks good, but actually you gotta, and it's not all of them, but a lot of them, you gotta modify to get them to so they'll actually catch and land a fish and not just get hit by a fish.
Right.
Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey's got a lot of redfish down there, both in the immediate area of the Matt Lachey Bridge and down around the Indian Fields area. And then there's been a few snook and mangrove snapper being caught off the bridge itself. Overall, other than that, not a whole lot to speak of down there. Some guy was saying something about a school of redfish down there, but he was pretty vague, so not sure what to think about that one.
No, I've heard of the school of redfish, but it's moving around so much, there's no way to peg where it's at.
Gotcha.
Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound is Spanish mackerel, some small sharks, lots of individual tarpon. And then there's been quite a few snook, especially right down there around the fish shacks. All those little islands close to those fish shacks are holding some pretty decent snook on them. The guys have been frustrated with a lot of the puffer fish too, so some of the guys are going all the way down there to catch white bait and still trying to fish, and the puffer fish are having a field day beating up their white bait.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to get past the puffers. Very aggressive. I enjoy them. They're just awesome little fish. You know, you hold it in your hand and blow it up. Just keep your fingers out of his mouth. Get a beak like a freaking parrot. Take a chunk out of you in an instant.
It's just funny that they can actually swim as fast as they do with them little tiny, tiny fins. You know, it's kind of like that fat guy in a little coat.
Yeah.
You know, even without them being blown up, the way they can swim, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it is really surprising. And I think one that blows my mind is that spiny boxfish.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a puffer, except it's more rectangle-shaped, you right. know, triangle-shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Little spines all over it and spots. And it has great big eyes on it. Just looks so dopey. I mean,
yeah.
Awesome little fish. And but, boy, that's a strange little fish.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Let's see what the dinging was.
Does that semi-regularly? I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I don't. It always worries me. But, oh well.
Figure it out another day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
That works. As long as you can find it or not find it, as long as it hasn't affected anything.
Well, somebody left us a 5-star review on Google.
Nice.
That was nice of them.
That was really cool.
So, Jug Creek Shows, Boquilla?
Got nothing.
Okay. Yeah, we record this sitting in my office, and, you know, the email programs are open. Other stuff is all going on. We're recording, and we take it from analog to digital signal and then put it to this and comes out that way. But Burnt Store, Two Pines.
A lot of snook sitting along that shoreline. And then quite a few snook even out on top of the bar, especially in the late afternoons when it gets a little quieter and no boat traffic coming around. And then there has been a handful of pompano cruising along that same bar, both in the early mornings and in the afternoons. Overall, though, no snook or no redfish, no trout to speak of. But the snook report's been pretty decent. Always surprises me how well that area holds them, with those being like those Hail Mary spots for the charters when they're coming back.
Yeah, well, the cool, I think one of the reasons it's is good is just because of its location. It's right inside Boca Grande Pass, so it gets that burst of salt water. It floods bait that way. It is in the right location.
Right.
I've always kicked myself in the butt. I didn't buy a house in Pirate Harbor when I came here.
Right.
So, east side of the harbor.
Everyone looked at me and said, "What do you think I'm out there for?"
Well, it was way out of the way, and it was twice the price of lots that I could buy up here. And I said, but hindsight, that little brown eye of wisdom. When you're looking at that, it's always 20/20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scary.
So, all right, east side.
East side's got still quite a few snook on it. That's gotten a little quieter this week. But there's the tarpon are cruising on the outside of the bar. There's been some juveniles on the inside of the bar. A handful of pompano being skipped just on the outside of the bar, along with a couple of small sharks, both on the bar and just on the outside of the bar. Most of those are little bull sharks with a few black tips and Atlantic sharp nose.
Okay, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's got a lot of jacks in it. Quite a few black drum, especially as you get closer up towards the Burnt Store Isles canal system. And then the mangrove snapper is still doing fairly decent inside there. And then still a handful of snook cruising through there, so some of the guys are slow trolling on their way out along the shoreline, and especially on the Punta Gorda side of the shoreline, seems to be doing a little bit better on those snook.
Well, it's the weird creek, because normal creeks, the outside of a bend is the deep area.
Mm-hmm.
And that creek can bend left or right, and the left side or Punta Gorda side's deep. I don't know why it is. In some places, that right-hand side should be deep, and it's not. It's all along that left shoreline has the deep water.
Right.
The right side's all shallow. Makes no sense. It doesn't form to any known patterns, but that's Punta Gorda.
Right.
Ponce de Leon.
A few spade fish, a few mangrove snapper, and a few black drum, along with a couple of small to even moderate sized jacks coming through there. I was talking to a guy this morning and he said the snook have gotten real quiet. He said there's still a few around, but he said he's not catching anything really to speak of.
All right. PGI canals.
Juvenile tarpon. Lots and lots of big black drum. Occasional big redfish mixed in with those big black drum. And then the snapper bite's been not too bad, along with a lot of smaller snook hanging out in there. All those dock lights at night loaded with small snook, but even during the day with the guys trolling around or just hanging out on their dock fishing free line and a shrimp or even some cut bait, those smaller snook have actually been picking that stuff up.
Okay, Gilcrest Pier?
Gilcrest Pier has still got a couple reports of some small sharks being caught off of there. Other than that, nothing else this week. Just a few small sharks. And he was very vague with what they were.
All right. Alligator Creek Reef.
I've got nothing. Most of that was wind driven for no report there.
Yeah. The deep holes in the harbor.
Guys are still trying to chase those tarpon out there in them. They've been getting them, dodging those storms and that wind of the last 2 days, but the tarpon have been in the holes along with the occasional Spanish mackerel. And then, of course, a few catfish mixed in with those. But definitely been a tarpon thing out there.
Freshwater.
Bass fishing definitely is the key right now. I mean, they've been doing some incredible bass fishing, and we do have shiners today, so that'll be the main thing I'd be using, fishing around the culvert pipes or any of the spill dams that have got some water flowing over them. And 2 to 4 pound fish have been the mixed reports from people. A couple guys have still been buying the worms, still a couple guys buying some frogs, but mostly it's been shiners. Even a couple of those Northport canals have gotten some similar reports on too. The other thing is the tilapia bite has picked up a little bit. Guys have been in here, a couple of guys have been buying the wigglers and night crawlers to go fish for some of those tilapia, so they're starting to cooperate on natural bait, which I don't understand what triggers the feeding program in those dolls. I don't want to take worms for a short period of time, because it doesn't matter if it's February or July. They just all of a sudden, guys come in, oh, I'm catching tilapia on them. It's pretty, yeah. It's bizarre to me.
Well, it could be something as simple as they're getting ready to spawn, or, you know, something like that.
Right. I know last year when I asked people about it, it was a 50-50, because some of these guys were just catching them flat out in the open water, and other guys were actually catching them on beds. So it's strange. It's always fun being challenged and have to try to figure it out sometimes. Sometimes it's just easier, okay, well, I thought about it and I quit.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm not going to get that answer, forget it. It's just a theory at this point. It's a bad theory at that. I'm not going to question it, just roll with it.
Alright, give me a second to bring up the tarpon map.
Okay.
And I think I can get that up right away. There we go.
Got a few decent reports on those. Still tough, but getting a few reports.
Get the right brush. And red dots.
Red dots, I'm going to say all the 20-foot holes. And even in Boca Grande Pass, because I've had a few reports of them out there with some pretty darn consistency this week.
Okay.
A couple of guys have been starting there in the mornings and then working their way into the harbor in late mornings.
Captiva?
couple, but I would say it's more 50-50.
All right, yellow dots and Captiva. How about Ponderosa?
Yellow dots.
All right, what about along the beach from Sanibel up?
Yellow dots. It's been a little sporty out there, but at the beginning of all this, there was guys out there catching them off the beach.
How about going north? How far north are they going?
All the way up to above Stump Pass.
Yeah, it's kind of weird when you're yellow dotting the entire western shoreline there.
Right. Yeah, it's that time of year.
Miaka River is red or yellow?
Yellow. Those fish have been moving in and out of there, but not staying very long.
All right. Along in front of the east side, Pirate Harbor north?
Yeah, yellow. All the way up to about the Alligator Creek.
West side of the harbor?
I haven't heard of any over there, except for the juveniles have started to pop up a little bit over there.
Matt Lachey, Cape Coral Bridges.
Nothing. I haven't gotten any reports down there.
Inside on the ICW?
Pine Island. Just right around the immediate area around Pine Island.
Yeah, but Pine Island's pretty huge. Inside, outside, top, bottom?
Right by Captiva Pass, just on the inside of Captiva
okay,
Pass.
Okay, but you have to admit, by Pine Island, that's like a monster island.
Right. No, just the inside area closer towards the shacks is what I've been hearing, just a few.
Anything else you want to put there, nighttime spots?
I haven't heard anything nighttime at all.
All right, so that's it, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Mostly just poor weather to get poor reports, unfortunately. There's not enough Carls in there to go out there and do that crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he was out pretty much every day during...
Angel's long gone. He was the only one really dumb enough to go out there and that's serious stuff.
Yeah, I got.
It's a crappy day. Hey, there's two boats at the boat ramp. One of them is Angel's, I promise you. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've actually...
Who's the other guy? Cito. Like, yep.
Angel and Cito, that was about it. Why did that go there?
It's kind of funny because, like, you knew if there was two cars at that boat ramp, one of them was going to be his. If it was miserable weather, he was probably going to be there. Odds were in the favor.
Yeah. Absolutely true. Every once in a while, I run across a picture of him.
Yeah. Somebody was talking about him the other day, and it was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, anything else up?
Honestly, no. It's everything has been so weird with this weather this week, unfortunately. I mean, I know it's going to be July, it's going to be hot and warm, all that good stuff, but I think come Sunday or Monday, I think we're going to see definitely a better increase in more people going out and catching some pretty quality fish because they've had several days of not getting run over or beat up out there, both inshore and offshore. So I think we're going to get some pretty good reports come like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with the activity out there, because I mean the baits out there, the artificials have been working good. You know, it was cranking so good just before this front came through. I think we're gonna see some pretty fishy activity, especially since the river isn't cranking as much as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, it's really been coastal rains, and right. We need inland rains to actually pick up the water flow, and we're just not getting the inland rains.
Yeah. The only great thing about all this, though, it has dropped the water temperature in the harbor, like anywhere from 4 to 6 degrees on some of the places.
Well, I'm going to say it's a little bit due to the rain we've got, but a lot to do with the cloud cover.
Well, that's what I was meaning, yeah.
You know, and I haven't really looked. I guess I can go on my website and check out the radar and see what that's doing. And
man, one guy that had 86 degrees at several spots cruising down the west wall the other day.
Oh, yeah. Storm's really cranking up there in the northern Gulf.
Man, it's 8 degrees, 9 degrees cooler than what it was a week ago. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Now, just looking at the radar, that whole area up in that northern Gulf is, that's going to be a lot of rain up there. And a little bit all around us, but there's really not much by us. You know, that's the kind of crazy part, is it's not we're not getting inundated with rain, even though it's like everywhere around. But yeah, that storm's pretty big out there.
We had a pretty fair share of it yesterday.
And we didn't get, I was in Orlando all day and got no rain at all. Literally none.
Yeah, no, it was, it rained and drizzled a few different times, but at, I don't know, 1 o'clock, that band came and just paralleled, like just on the inside of 75 to almost to the coast, and just kind of, it serpentined. It was weird. It was just kind of, you'd get a half hour, 45 minutes of nothing, and then all of a sudden it would just crush you for a little bit. And then there was a couple spots where we had, I think we had almost 45 minutes to an hour of a really good deluge.
Hmm. So, yeah, I don't, yeah, it's just kind of weird. I'm just looking at spaghetti models to see if there's anything on that storm. But they're, most of all, it's just forecast stuff. I'm not seeing anything actually accurate.
Right.
Or now.
Just all over the place with it?
Oh, now I see what it is. I mean, it's really, it's hard to tell from the radar because you can't see what's going on in the Gulf. But this, that big tropical depression is kind of centered over Louisiana. And it's all the bands going up into Georgia and coming out to Florida. It's literally just whipping around that way.
Oh,
that's
gotcha.
What it is. So it's literally, looks like it's centered kind of like below Mississippi, Louisiana, or Alabama, Louisiana area, whatever that is, Mississippi, Alabama. But yeah, it's out that far, but it's swirling, and the bands are literally going down to the Yucatan and then over to Florida.
Okay.
So,
because all that rainy stuff is on the southeastern corner of it.
Yeah, it's literally creating the entire Gulf has stuff going on it because and that's why we're not going to have any, you know, offshore reports, even though the storm is, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from us. It's just going to produce all that wind and rain, and the waves are going to be just blowing up at us. That's what's going to keep us from having any offshore reports.
See how they like that beach renourishment project now out of Boca.
Well, isn't that what we said? What kind of mental midget, and only the government would say, okay, it's the middle of summer, right in hurricane season, let's renourish the beach.
Right.
You do that in October or November. You don't, and that way it can last at least a few months.
Right.
Morons.
Yeah.
It's our tax dollars at work.
It is. Pretty funny. All we can do is shake our heads.
Oh, well.
Definition of insanity.
All right. Well, let me see. I'll get us out of this. I'm hoping next week I'm going to take some time off. I'm going to come back all happy, jovial, and I've just been, I'm serious need of a few days off. So,
agreed.
You know, walked 7-8 hours there at ICAST yesterday. Actually getting a lot of business done for other people, but I could get some pictures of myself and some of the people I deal with a lot, so I might be putting those up. I don't know. But anyway, Fishing Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me. This has been our kind of lackadaisical, quiet, taking a snooze fishing report.
Yeah, kind of was.
Yeah. Actually, not one of our best, but not one of our worst.
Oh, no, we've had worse.
We've had worse. So, all right, boys and girls, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.